Okay, guys, so today our lesson is going to be about women in the workforce. And the question for today is, will the American workplace grant men and women equal opportunities?
I am the most qualified candidate for the job because I am a real life businesswoman. Okay, that's really stupid.
What? There's like 20% missing.
Girl, please be home.
Hey, I should have 20%. Why are you dead? Oh, sorry. Here, you go.
Large dark roast for Carol.
This looks a little low.
Large dark roast for Lucy.
Mine has even less.
Cool. Anthony, got a large dark roast.
Excuse me. Oh, watch out.
That was so full.
Very hot and very full.
Hey, I'm gonna clock out.
Cool.
Oh, are you done?
Oh, yeah.
Could you just make it even?
It looks even to me.
It looks like a mouse is just slowly, like, slowly falling.
You know, can't you just be happy with what you have? I cut most of your hair.
Am I crazy?
You're not crazy. This is crazy.
Even without the last two sections, you're certainly more than qualified. We'd love for you to join our team. And we think you'll be pleased with the offer that we gave someone else. You'll be making 20% less.
Mm?
Start on Monday? Mm?
And so I want to jump back a little bit. We're talking about, one of these current issues in the election. You could call it pay equity. You could call it gender discrimination. Because the fact is that women are paid less than men, often in the same jobs. And so we're going to jump backward to try to understand where this is happening, why this is happening. And so the first presidential commission appointed to study the status of women in the workplace was actually appointed by President John F. Kennedy. And the commission found that employers paid women less than men. So not only are women being paid less, often for the same jobs, women were rarely promoted to leadership positions in their fields. Now, the U.S. Census Bureau found that more women than ever were working outside of the home. In fact, women make up almost half the workforce, yet women only hold a very small percentage of the most senior jobs in the nation's largest 500 companies. This is called the Fortune 500. The wealthiest companies in our nation are very rarely run by women. And so this has led many to claim that there is a glass ceiling. And the term glass ceiling means a perceived invisible barrier that keeps women and minorities from attaining promotion above a certain level. The tricky thing about this, the reason it's called a glass ceiling, is it's difficult to figure out why this is happening. Because while I work as a public service figure, my salary is disclosed. You can go online and find out what I make. It's not much, it's not that exciting, but it is a matter of public record as a government employee. And so since public salaries are available and are required by law to be available, we can ensure gender pay equity in government-related jobs. However, in private industry, in private businesses, salaries are confidential. In fact, you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement if you go to work in private industry, promising not to disclose your salary. It's your business. It's something, in fact, that you negotiate between you and your employer. Maybe you don't know that, but when you go into a salaried position, you actually negotiate for your pay. And when you finish negotiations and you accept the job, you sign a contract stating that you will not disclose how much money you make. And this has always made the issue of gender pay equity difficult to prove and difficult to combat. Now, by 1997, women filled almost half of all jobs in leadership and specialty areas. Now, as women have been entering new fields, this includes construction work, includes manufacturing, equipment repair, things that had often previously been done by men, even now women can enter active combat military roles. Now, one area where women are perhaps best represented is in academia, in education. In 1997, a study found that women received a record number of 41% of all doctoral degrees in universities. And more degrees were given in life sciences, and that field is the field of life sciences has more women than any other academic field. Now, a survey in 2000 from a women's advocacy group found that 91% of women with masters in business working in information technology reported a high satisfaction in their current jobs, meaning that more women reported a level of happiness in their jobs, in fact, than men. And to quote this organization, this translates into opportunity for women in this growing industry. They're essentially telling us this is the place to be. However, the issue of unequal pay and unequal representation in leadership roles still remains a major problem. Women are still making less than their male counterparts, on average 72 cents for every dollar earned by a man for the same jobs. In fact, we have currently a National Committee on Pay Equity, and the present findings are that women are often socialized to aim toward lower paying jobs. And this means the cultural expectation for women is often to seek lower paying jobs. And women often have limited expectations about their own leadership potential. In fact, this old cult of domesticity, this culture of women wanting to be in domestic roles, of women expected to go into more serving related positions and discouraged often culturally from seeking leadership or science related positions. And so not only is there this culture of an expectation that we have to challenge, but often women have to juggle the demands of work and family life. Because for better or worse, when a family breaks up, usually the woman assumes primary care of the children. And as you know, as we've talked about many times, this can complicate things in regards to seeking advancement. In top-level jobs in our country, women continue to be vastly outnumbered by men. In 2001, women headed only two of the nation's largest 500 companies. Only two were run by women as of 2001. Now, 90 of these companies had no women on their boards, period. So that means of all the positions held at the corporate level in the running of these largest 500 companies, 90 of them had no women, period, running these corporations. Now, of all the line officer positions with profit and loss responsibility, so this means of these corporations, a line officer would be someone who has a vested financial share of the company, meaning that if the company does well, they receive dividends. They could be called a partner. only 7.3% of these partner-level positions were held by women in the nation's top 500 companies. That's the reality today. And so the question is, why are women underrepresented in these top jobs? Now, according to polls from this women's advocacy group, women executives listed male stereotyping, preconceptions of women. Women were often excluded from informal networks of communication. In fact, in the business world, networking is so important. For example, playing golf is a business activity. Memberships in country clubs are where many business connections and deals are made. And many of these activities, women are often excluded from. And then finally, many women just have never pursued these roles. And this is from interviews of women executives. Many women just never choose to go into leadership positions. Now, when these female executives were interviewed and asked about what qualities allowed them to rise up and break these cultural norms, many women cited the need to consistently exceed expectations. For example, I have a friend whose wife is an orthopedic surgeon, a very advanced position. Very high level of responsibility and a high degree of stress, and failure is not an option in a surgical position. And what she's told me is that she often not only has to overcome the stress of performing surgeries, but in med school she had to exceed the expectations of those around her, and she had to distinguish herself above these men. Now, many women also find that they have to develop a leadership style which managers are comfortable with. Because you see, often women have to overcome this culture of domesticity in the fact that many men are not comfortable taking orders from women. And so many women have to develop a leadership style. Because you see, an assertive man is called a go-getter. An assertive woman often carries a negative connotation, right? You see, a strong, assertive woman might be spoken badly about, while a strong, assertive man, it's almost a double standard. And so to distinguish oneself, a woman will often have to seek out more difficult assignments to prove herself. But also these women executives cited the fact that an influential mentor can be very helpful. Now, in 2000, the National Foundation for Women Business Owners conducted a study on female entrepreneurship. This means how many women are starting businesses. And the study found that the number of women who owned businesses had doubled in the last 13 years. And this actually constituted the fastest growing sector of the U.S. economy. And so in 2000, the data showed that more women are starting businesses, more women are innovating. And in fact, one quote from the study is, "It's more than having a business, you get to create the culture you want." And so some women, and more, increasingly more and more, are starting businesses of their own. And the neat thing about that is you create whatever culture you want, meaning you can set up the climate of your business, certainly if you own it. Another piece of advice that these women executives and business owners gave was that it pays to be flexible. You see, flexible work arrangements allow many women to commute from home, to work part-time, and to still be involved with their families. In fact, in 1996, 60% of the companies surveyed had some type of formal policy or guideline for some kind of flexible work arrangement. And this was as the internet was was really in its infancy. While today, many people can choose to work from home and still continue to care for their family. Now, one study tracked 24 women that were using these flexible work arrangements for over a decade, meaning they may be working part-time, they may be working online, and in various types of flexible arrangements. And they followed these women for over 10 years, and here's what they found. All of the women now hold mid or senior level positions within their companies, and more than half had earned promotions in the past 10 years. And I'll quote from the study. Findings from this report suggest that even though working mothers may reduce career involvement for a period of time, with the support of the right company, career advancement does not have to get sidelined. Many people put off career advancements to have families, but this study did demonstrate that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Both can be managed effectively with a bit of hard work and creativity.